you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue with part one of the two-part series titled, Six Enemies to Faith.
Satan wants to blind you so you don't see who you really are. And he wants to blind you so you don't see who he is. He's that impotent man sitting at the table boasting of great things, but he has no power. And yes, he will boast all his life. He will always come to you one way or another to try and steal your faith. I'll knock your head off if you go out there. You better not start tithing. You'll lose all your money. The bills will just overtake you. You better not go out there and start praying. You're wasting your time. You're just going to look like a fool. You go out there and witness that person if God led you to witness to someone. You're just going to be a fool, make a fool of yourself. We've all heard that before. You can't be a Christian and hear the devil not bring those things up to stop you from doing in your heart what you know is right. If you were ministering to anybody else, you say, yeah, obey God, do that. Then your opportunity comes and you hear Satan all of a sudden screaming loud in your mind. Don't do that. You'll be embarrassed. Don't do that. You'll lose it all. Don't invest here. Don't do that. Don't do the other. Don't raise your kids like this. You start to hear voices. And like I said before on the first Sunday, there are many voices, the Bible says, in 1 John, and none are without significance. So all voices have significance, but as you study the word, you get to know the voice of God. Because God's talking to people. The devil's talking to people. Their flesh is talking to them. Their spirit is talking to them. Everything's talking to you. Their voice is everywhere. Now, the world believes that's just their thoughts. Oh, yeah, I just got ideas. I said, but that's why you have a conflict so much. I said, there is a lot of voices there, but as you hear the voice of God and can recognize the voice of Satan, you know which one to follow and which one not to. And it's all about decisions. A person right now, we are where we are financially, spiritually, socially, economically, or any other way. We are where we are because of decisions we made before today. Nobody can argue that and have good sense. You are exactly where you are because of decisions you made. If I want to be someplace else 5 years from now, I got to change my decisions. I got to start making better decisions. Well, how do I make better decisions? Here's a decision maker right here. I was talking to an unbeliever. I was witnessing to an unbeliever Thursday night at work. He comes in, customer comes in real late, and he was in late. I was in late, so we got to talking. He's an unbeliever. He said, well, the Bible is just an instruction manual. I said, boy, you got a better revelation than most Christians. You're not even a believer. Most Christians don't even know it's an instruction manual. It's a how-to-live manual. They think it's something you put on the shelf and catch dust. You know, oh, yeah, we got a Bible in the house. We're Christians. You ever read it? Nope. You know, nope. Ever take it to church with you? Nope. The majority of the churches in America, the people do not bring the Bible to church. That may be shocking because, you know, we're Pentecostals, and Pentecostals tend to bring their Bibles to church. But the majority of churches in America are not Pentecostal, and they do not bring their Bibles to church. And a large number of Pentecostal churches don't bring the Bible. You know why? It's not important to them. If you ask them, is it important? Oh, no, it's very important. It's the Word of God. Is it important enough to read? You know,
yeah.
Do you read it?
No.
There you have it. You know, and you can look and see why so many Christians fail in God and fail in life instead of succeeding. They don't read the how-to manual. It's like the man who wants to put all the parts together when he buys something new and doesn't want to read the manual. You know, I'm pretty good at doing it, but a few times I've jumped into it and, you know, made somewhat of a mess and put something together and parts are left over. And I'm like, well, it seems to work fine. And it's too difficult to get some of the things out, so you just let it go. And you say, well, I don't see what's going to break, and you let it go. But I'm sure they paid money for that part to be in that case for some reason, but I may never find out why, but I might have structurally made something weaker than it should be because I didn't read the rules. Is our Christian life structurally weaker than it should be? Is our Christian testimony structurally weaker than it should be? When the world looks at me, I want them to look at me and see excellence. Not my personal excellence, but the excellence of God. I want them to say, that person is an excellent person. I've always wanted said of me, and you should want said of you what was said of Daniel Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar looked and he said, man, of all those people that we had, the children of Israel, those guys seem more excellent than any others. That's a good testimony. They're more excellent. They take care of everything better. They do business better. They treat their wives and husbands better. They live better. They drive better. Now, I'm not saying that's a sign of your spirituality to have things, but if you're a wise person, you know, things just tend to come. Any fool in the world will be without, and any fool in the church will be without. And any wise person in the world will have certain things, and any wise person in the church will have certain things. But like I tell people, God is not against you having things. He's against things having you. You know, there's nothing wrong with us having things. I want a nice house. I want to live in a nice community for my daughter to grow up in. I want her to go to nice schools. And nobody can preach any kind of ridiculousness that they think is in the Bible.
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
And any wise person in the world will have certain things, and any wise person in the church will have certain things. But like I tell people, God is not against you having things. He's against things having you. You know, there's nothing wrong with us having things. I want a nice house. I want to live in a nice community for my daughter to grow up in. I want her to go to nice schools. And nobody can preach any kind of ridiculousness that they think is in the Bible that tells me I can't have that. I can have the best. I can drive the best. I can be in the best, and I can wear the best. But I'm not going to wear it before my time and go broke. You know, but I'm going to be patient. And the thing is, I'm not seeking those things. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, and all those other things shall be added unto me, it says in Matthew. That takes faith. Because, see, the people graduated high school with me and graduated Bible school, and well, not Bible school, but graduated other schools and things with me, they're seeking the things. How many people do we work with in the world? What are you going for? I mean, I'm going to get this house, and I'm working hard to get this. No, I'm not working hard to get anything. I'm reading and studying the Word to fulfill the plan of God in my life, and I'm trusting that all those things will come. Oh, but you make a good amount of money at your job, or you make money here, that, and the other. I said, yeah, but I've never sought the money. The money will come as the obedience to the Word of God and the will of God comes. That's what we had to get Christians to see. Don't seek the money. Don't get a job because of money. First of all, a job is not your source. Like I said, they can call up on the phone and say, sorry, we just got a corporate decision. We're cutting you out. You're out of here. Now, if that was your source, you're in trouble. If God was your source, says, hey, God, you saw what happened. You took care of me at the job. You got to take care of me now. Need another job, need something else, whatever. Because you realize who the source of whom all blessings flows from God. But Satan, again, wants to keep you deceived. He wants you to get all lost and confused. He wants you to understand that you're not a child or believe that you're not who you are in Christ. We don't even know all that we are in Christ. It takes a lifetime to figure out all you have. I can walk on this earth with the authority of Christ walk. Because a lot of Christians, it shocks them. But the Bible teaches that Jesus was stripped of all his heavenly supernatural ability, and that he clothed himself in flesh, and he lived on this earth as a man so that he could identify with the weaknesses of men. He cannot identify with my weakness if he's around here and everything works for him that doesn't work for me. That's no identification at all. Oh, but you're the Son of God. That's the excuse people use. Oh, well, he healed people because he's the Son of God. Well, he did this because he's the Son of God. And the Bible said he stripped off all his heavenly glory, that he might come and walk amongst men as a man. Everything that Jesus did, we can do if it's the will of God for us to do. I know people who lay hands on the sick and they get healed. I've laid hands on the sick and they've gotten healed. I've laid hands on myself and I've gotten healed. I know people who believe Matthew 16:18, where it talks about the believers. These should be the signs that follow the believer. Signs and wonders. If you know that's who you are, that'd build your faith to go out. And if you're with somebody and you're talking to them and you get an unction, well, this person's really in pain, and you know, I just feel like I should pray for them. I think I'll ask them, do you mind if I pray for you? Most of them say, no, especially if they're hurting. So, you know, they can be an unbeliever. You know, God will heal an unbeliever just as a testimony to them of his power. But you know what he needs? He needs some believer to be willing to lay hands on him, or to be willing to intercede for him, or to be willing to step in and be a representative and ambassador of Jesus in their life. Now, if all the ambassadors for America are afraid to leave our shores, we won't be represented in any other country in the world. And we're ambassadors of Christ. And if all the ambassadors of Christ are afraid to go out and talk to anybody, or afraid to share when God unctions them, hey, there's an opportunity to invite that person to church. Then how is God's point of view going to be represented? How much is God's point of view left out of the media? And how many Christians are in the media? I'm sure there's a whole lot of people who work in the media who are Christian. Some of them even go to church on Sunday, but they're not going to bring any of that up anywhere. They're not even going to make it look good. They're going to just go the way of the world, because they won't even represent themselves. There's enough Christians in powerful positions in America that if they knew who they were and they stood up in their position, they could change things. There's some corporate owners. Did you know that everybody rich is not a sinner? Everybody powerful in America is not a sinner. The sinners do not necessarily have to rule America, but a lot of the Christians are dormant. Powerful positions. There's Christians who own industries. And they could make a Christian decision to just, yes, this is this, and I'm willing to speak about Jesus. And everybody, wow. You know, you talk to Iacocca and you get him on the side and you interview him. He says he's a Christian. You ever hear anything about that anywhere else or anything else where he's at? Not that I know of. But people look up and admire him. It'd be nice to, hey, there's a Christian who made it. You mean to tell me Christian's not about taking an oath of poverty and always being kicked around and beat in the dust the way they think Jesus was? Jesus wasn't kicked around in the dust. Like I told him before, I said, a man who has a treasurer has something to put in the treasury. And Judas Iscariot was the treasurer. And he was stealing money over a 3.5 year period of time, and they didn't know the money was being stolen. Now, if all you got in there is 5 cents, wouldn't you know it was stolen? You got to have a good amount of money to filter it out and nobody know it's gone. You know, now Jesus knew it was gone because he knew what he was doing. But nobody else knew it was gone. There was so, they talk about selling this, that, and the other. Oh, the perfume, don't waste that perfume. Mary Magdalene, are you crazy? That could be sold. That's a year's worth of wages. We could have sold that and given it to the poor. And they said he said that. The Bible records that he said that because he was stealing from the treasury. And if that got in there, he had more to steal. But he was stealing all the time. But nobody really found out. Nobody found out. It's not because nobody was taking account of it. It's because there was enough in there that you can steal and nobody missed it. Jesus had the treasure. He was not a poor man. Solomon definitely was not a poor man. David was not a poor man. Moses was not even a poor man. Abraham was far from being a poor man. All these people who we look at in Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 in the Hall of Faith, the patriarchs of faith, they were not poor people. And even the ones we think are poor, their needs were met. They weren't really poor in the sense of destitute, not having their needs met. Yeah, they may not have had mansions, because God doesn't promise you a mansion until you get to heaven. But I mean, you could have one on this earth. Depends on how much light of the word you want to walk in.
Today's message has been part one of the two-part series titled, Six Enemies to Faith.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, 2 blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Fresh Catch Seafood Grill in Stewart, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, is a beautiful